Hi, everybody. I'm Joshua Danziger.
And I'm Ethan Campfield.
Today is Thursday, February 23rd, 2023.
And this is The Young Perspective, where we talk about America's biggest political and social dilemmas from the eyes of two high schoolers.
In the early hours of Monday, February 6, 2023, two earthquakes measuring 7.8 and 7.5 on the Richter scale hit southeastern Turkey near the border with Syria.
And since then, over the last month, there have been over 6,000 aftershocks and other earthquakes that have occurred in this region. These earthquakes have caused millions of dollars of damage, with 100,000 buildings collapsing, 45,000 people dying in Turkey, and 5,500 people dying in Syria.
UN estimates that right now there are 800,000 people who are homeless on the streets of southeastern Turkey, homeless in below freezing temperatures, hundreds of thousands without any food at all. And this also applies to Syria, to Aleppo, Syria, where there's currently a civil war that's been going on for over 10 years, and they've had less aid, less support for those affected by the earthquake.
The earthquake was not an isolated event. Over the last month, as I previously said, there have been over 6,000 other smaller tremors and larger ones that have reached magnitudes of 6 and the Richter scale or higher. These earthquakes are continuously affecting this region, not allowing these people to rest, continuously attacking them. Areas that are already underground from all of the destruction are continuously hit with these earthquakes. A woman who is a resident, Muna Alamar, told Reuters, the journal, that she thought the earth was going to split under her feet. She was standing in a park with her son, and she just stood there holding him, not knowing what to do because the earthquake was opening up the ground beneath her. She had no idea, and nothing was due to stop this.
Why did this earthquake occur? So we have to go a little bit into geology. Thank you, Ms. Thorvam, our 7th grade geology earth science teacher, for talking about this and teaching this to us. So the earth is not all solid. It's solid on the crust, which is the top layer of the earth. And then below the crust, you have non-solid, like kind of fluids that move slowly. And then as you get lower, it becomes more fluid as you get closer to the earth's core. So you have a solid crust sitting on a fluid lower level. And this is the way I like to think about it. I like to think about like a solid iceberg sitting on fluid water underground. And icebergs crack and they move, right? And that's why ice is always flowing. Antarctic ice is always moving, even though it's, you know, huge ice fields that you would think it's land below. It's always flowing and moving on top of the water. And it's the same for the plates, which cover the Earth's crust. So these plates have cracks in them, and the cracks form all these different plates around the world, and the plates are always floating and moving and pushing against each other. And the particular plate that Turkey is on is called the Anatolian plate, and this plate is pushing against two other plates. It's actually where the earthquake occurred is down a fault line. It's called the East Anatolia fault line, and the East Anatolia, the Anatolia plate was rubbing against another plate on the fault line, and they were rubbing and moving in different directions against each other, and they were building up so much pressure. And finally, that pressure released, and it slid. The two plates slid, and that's what caused the earthquake. So an earthquake is really a releasing of pressure between two plates moving up against each other.
And this is not something that's just been This is not just something that is recent, because Turkey is located in this fault region with multiple plates right up next to each other. There have been earthquakes that have killed tens, hundreds, thousands of people in the past. In 2020, there were earthquakes, 2010, 2011. Throughout the last decades and years, there have been multiple earthquakes that have killed so many people. But this has been more than the past. This is the largest earthquake that has happened in this region in the last century.
So the real question is, why is this earthquake so bad? Well, according to the president of Turkey, President Erdogan, such things have always happened, he says. It's a part of destiny's plan. So he says the deaths are something that could have not have been prevented. Well, that's not really true. Many of the deaths were caused by buildings collapsing. So the buildings either collapsed falling over to their sides, or many of the buildings pancaked on top of each other. So what happened is you had a weak lower level, and the lower level broke under all the pressure of the higher levels. And then the higher levels kind of, as the lower level had no support, higher levels pancaked and kind of fell down on top of the lower level. In the process, this crushed many people, and the earthquake occurred in the early hours of the morning. So many people were in their homes, in their apartments, in their hotels, sleeping. It was a bad time for an earthquake because when the buildings fell, everybody was in them.
But why did the buildings fall? Buildings are supposed to be equipped with base isolation systems, things at the bottom of the buildings that protect it from earthquakes. Now, obviously, this is not perfect technology. Earthquakes that are massive, 7.4 magnitude earthquakes can, you know, obviously topple a building, but thousands, 100,000 buildings all falling, there must be something that could have protected them. And the problem is corruption. Construction businesses in Turkey for years have been neglecting industry standard codes. They've looked past, the government has said that, the government has looked past these things. They've chosen not to prosecute these companies that are choosing to not follow the codes. And because of this, they've known for many years that these buildings are not safe, and they've done nothing about it.
But it's even more significant than the individual companies, construction companies, architects, contractors not following the codes. The government has formally given amnesty for companies and people in violation with the code. So as every government does, they have agencies that go and check and see if buildings are up to code. We have that in the United States. That's why you have to submit your plans before you build something, so they check if it's up to code. In Turkey, before elections, President Erdogan and local politicians have given amnesty to those with code violations. So basically, if you had a code violation, you could pay a fee to the government and they'd basically eliminate that violation. Not that your building got safer, your building, nothing changed in your building. Just you wouldn't be subject to the long-term fees of having a violation. So Erdogan and others use as a political tool to get more votes. They're basically paying their voters by not charging them fees they paid a small fee instead of having larger fees of violations. They're paying their voters to vote for them. It's genius. But that also means the government is responsible when these violations cause the buildings to pancake, cause the deaths. Erdogan is deflecting that responsibility, and the government's actually created an agency to prosecute the contractors themselves who had built with violations and not fixed them. They are prosecuting them. They're taking them to court. Arrest warrants have been put out for these people on criminal charges, and that means the government's not taking responsibility for themselves. They're saying it's the contractor's fault, not their fault, for giving them amnesty.
When I first heard about this, I thought, well, it can't all be one president's fault. These buildings weren't all built, in the last few years when Erdogan was president. They could have been, buildings that are decades old. But then I found out that President Erdogan has served for the last 20 years as president. 20 years of him as president, taking in these funds, taking in these bribes from these businesses who he's taking in this money to give them amnesty, to allow them to continue these practices. That's why these buildings have lasted for so long in poor conditions, in which if there's any earthquake that's that big, thousands can die.
And it's not that the building codes in Turkey are not up to standards. Experts have looked at the building codes and they should be earthquake resistant, as building codes should be around the world. The building codes are fine. It's that there's no repercussion and maintenance of the building codes. There's no repercussion if you break them, and if there's no enforcement of the codes to make sure people actually follow them.
Now, many have criticized the government and Erdogan specifically for making these blames on these construction companies. Now, suddenly he's choosing to prosecute these individuals, arresting hundreds of construction workers, people who are involved with this, and placing full blame on them. And people are saying it's not all their fault. Obviously, they did something wrong, but they are not solely to blame. It is the government's fault as well for allowing this to happen. And the voters know this. There is an election coming up very soon, and it'll be interesting to see how the current government deals in this new election.
So when we look at responsibility for earthquakes, on one hand, Erdogan has some point that it is a natural disaster. In American law, we call it an act of God. And if something happens by act of God under American law, often you're not responsible. But if there's negligence, then you can be responsible. And there was negligence on behalf of the Turkish government, on behalf of local agencies, contractors, architects, etc., civil engineers, etc. There's negligence for all parties. So a lot of responsibility should also go to those parties for these deaths from the earthquake. Yet, what does the recovery look like? So countries from around the world have sent help to these affected areas. These have been EU countries, Germany, France has sent, you know, different groups to come help. The Israel, I believe, sent people to go help. Cyprus sent people to go help. And within Turkey, there are about 300,000 relief workers who are digging survivors out of buildings. Now it's a couple weeks later, so most of the survivors have already died. And they say the first 48 hours are the most crucial time to dig survivors out. After that, many are stuck and starve or you know, are crushed to death at that point. So now they're digging out bodies. But it's going to take years to dig out all the bodies that have been dead. And then they're actually making mass graves in some of the regions. And it's also going to take billions and millions of dollars. Some estimates say it's going to cost up to $85 to $90 billion just to bring these buildings and these regions back to their former states. So this is going to hinder economic growth, and it should hinder the GDP of Turkey. And you know, it can be a real hindrance for the future if this keeps continuing.
But that's just what's been happening in Turkey. What about Syria? Syria was also affected by this earthquake. And a few thousand people, a little more than 5,000, have died from this in the northwest region. And this region is particularly important because this region is controlled by the opposition government. So the opposition government in the civil war that's going on in Syria. So President Bashar al-Assad, who is the current president of Syria right now, has blocked off this region from transport of goods, services, people for the last decade, for more than a decade since the civil war in Syria has begun. And now, because of this earthquake, these people, millions of people who are there, are without food, shelter. They're in terrible conditions with no homes and in complete destruction. And something needs to be done to fix this region. So this has actually created a silver lining in which the president, Bashar al-Assad, has opened up this border temporarily for the next 3 months, allowing a flow of goods and people and services to provide aid for this region.
So though, you know, just must be stated that the earthquake was not nearly as bad in Aleppo and in north western Syria as it was in Turkey, as Turkey was the center region that it hit. Syria did hurt too, and it is interesting to see this the first time in the war that they've opened up to foreign aid, and hopefully this aid will help those in Aleppo and in the Syrian regions that are affected to not only recover from the earthquake, to recover from the conditions of the war.
This is going to conclude this week's episode of The Young Perspective. Thank you, everybody, so much for listening. We want to remind you to check out our website, theyoungperspective.net, or check out our Instagram as well. Please stop taking a photo. I look really bad because I have COVID. We also want to remind you to check out our Instagram, the_young_perspective, where you can see clips from our episodes, and check back each week as well to find new episodes. And remember,
this was The Young Perspective.